Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Jen, and you are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. Tonight is Monday, April 14th. It's the first night of Passover, so happy and blessed Pesach to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Also, this is the beginning of the Christian season of Holy Week. We have celebrated Palm Sunday on yesterday, and this coming Sunday we will be celebrating Easter Sunday, and on this road we will be going through Maundy Thursday, which is when Christians understand that Jesus celebrated the Passover meal, the Last Supper, as many call it, with his disciples in the upper room, and then Good Friday, which is really God Friday, when we understand that Jesus, the Messiah, was crucified and was laid in the tomb, and then we will celebrate Easter on Easter Sunday when we understand that Christ rose, and because of that, because we understand Christ to be fully human and fully divine, that we also are given an opportunity for resurrection and new life. And today I'm really excited that I have with me on this show Brian Walters, who is joining me from Seattle. And Walt has started an organization called the Overflow Project, and I'm going to give him an opportunity to talk a bit more about that and to talk about the ways that churches and individuals can become involved in that project. At different points during our Lenten journey on this show and on my website, I know that we have talked about and thought about ways in which our spiritual practices can inform this Lenten journey for Christians, this journey between Ash Wednesday, when we remember that we are dust and we remember our immortality, through the season to Palm Sunday, which was yesterday, and then through Easter, which is next Sunday. It's a 40-day journey. We start on a Wednesday, and those 40 days are 40 days of fasting in many Christian traditions. You decide to either give up a something that would be considered celebratory or feasting, and we often will take up a spiritual practice. And this is something that Christians have been doing for many years, and you know, hundreds and thousands of years. And one of our new practices is to think about the Easter season, which starts on Easter Sunday and which then moves forward to the day of Pentecost, which is another 40 days beyond Easter. So we're looking at now at the Easter season and the ways in which that season can engage us spiritually and how we can learn and take on some different spiritual practices. So tonight I want to, I'm thrilled that Walt is with us and can talk about his project and the way in which that project is informing the Easter season and the ways in which Christians are celebrating that season and are using that season to deepen their own sense of spirituality. So, well, welcome to the show. I want to remind folks that if you have questions, if you'd like to call in and make a comment, ask myself a question, ask Walt a question, you're welcome to do that. Give us a call. The number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So, Walt, what do my listeners, what should they know about you?
Well, I first want to say thank you for the invitation to be on your show. It was great meeting you was several months ago in Denver. Mm-hmm. And, it's great to connect. And I know we hit it off. And so, I just wanted to say thank you again for the invitation. So it's great to be on the line today.
You're very welcome, and it is great to have, you know, a kindred spirit that, you know, is sort of, yeah, we were, just so that our listeners know, both Walda and I were participating in a conference called Christianity 21, and it's an annual, now annual, gathering of progressive Christians who gathered in last January in Denver, and this January is in Phoenix, isn't that right?
I believe so.
Somewhere in Arizona, I think so, yeah. So a great opportunity to connect with other folks who are of like mind and spirit. So, yeah, no, please go ahead and tell folks more about you.
I will, and I'll also just share this little tidbit. It's actually sunny today and close to 70 degrees in Seattle, which is just unheard of this time of year. Everyone anticipates rain. So we have just this gorgeous spring day. And I don't know, there's something about this time of year where, you know, the seasons are changing and, you know, spring is in the air. And that typically means that Easter is just around the corner. And which it is. We're about a week away. And we kick off with the Overflow Project. We kick off a 50-day challenge, which we're kicking off on Easter Sunday. So I can share a little bit more details about what that challenge looks like, and I can go into more details. But I'll just share off at the top of the show here that our mission as an organization is to encourage simple living and generous giving in order to change lives. And I think it's just so common in our culture to buy things or to consume more items, and that's kind of a status for happiness in many ways as well. And it's basically really easy to go out to the store and buy something if we need it as well. And with that kind of mentality, in many ways, it's easy in our culture to oftentimes to write checks as well, or to just kind of give some sort of financial donation to a cause or something along those lines. And it's interesting that, you know, that's an easy thing to do, but what's so much more difficult is actually changing changing our own lives and actually engaging ourselves to engage further in changing our own lives to be able to change lives for others. And our program and our project has kind of a starting place for that. And I know it's work that you're interested in as well, with all your mentorships and the work that you do. That's just a real quick intro, and feel free to, you know, ask me questions as we go along as well. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, it's very interesting. I think most of us think, especially if, okay, we want to benefit the lives of others, we want to help folks who are in need, and so we give of our own resources. You know, we give, but even there, even though we're giving, you know, financially, for many people, that's not something that necessarily requires much in the way of sacrifice for them on a personal level. So tell me more about, you know, your thinking behind the Overflow Project and what that would provide for people.
Yeah, so there's such a divide, a huge divide that exists between rich and poor. And if you live in the United States, you're for the most part, you're rich. And I don't want anybody feel guilty by any means. That's not the point. It's just we would love to see the divide between rich and poor kind of, you know, that dividing wall kind of crumble. And we'd love to see people changing their own lifestyle to be able to relate and to get more engaged with this disparity between the people that have so much and those that materially speaking and those that have that suffer from things like lack of access to clean water and basic human needs mm-hmm. and necessities. So, so we create a starting point. It's a pretty simple concept. It's, and you mentioned Lent. It's actually similar, but we where we encourage people to save a dollar a day just by simplifying your life. So that can mean it's going to be something different for each individual. Find something meaningful, and then by changing your own life, you'll be able to create some new practices within your own lifestyle. And then over the course of doing this, over the course of 50 days, you're going to be able to kind of engage more further as you're journeying along. And then at the end of the challenge, we ask people to generously respond, and then then collectively as a group participating in this, we will support communities that are that we've identified as those in need. That would be great fits for sustainable implementation of some clean water solutions. And we have a partnership currently that we do that with, and we have an initiative where this upcoming 50-day challenge, we're going to be focusing on water projects in Kenya. So. But we do this not over the Lenten period, but we actually do this during Easter. So it kicks off on Easter, and then it goes for 7 weeks, kind of coinciding with the Easter to Pentecost theme.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so you said you do the 7 weeks of Easter up until Pentecost Sunday, which I think is towards the end of or beginning of mm-hmm. June this year. Mm-hmm. And so what you're asking folks to do is to set aside a dollar a day for those mm-hmm. 50 days or mm-hmm. Perhaps, you know, give up something that is mm-hmm. maybe a daily spending, and I'm thinking about, I know a lot of people, and I know you're from Seattle, so mm-hmm. you know all about this, you know, give up your daily latte, and that's, you know, $3 or mm-hmm. so a day for mm-hmm. the 50-day period. Now, that's pretty significant. I mean, that's, you know, mm-hmm. one mm-hmm. individual giving up one latte for a 50-day period is a $150 donation, which is, you know, that's significant.
Exactly. And then collectively, just by making small changes, we're able to make a big impact.
Great. So how did this get started? I mean, where did you get the idea for this, or did others get the idea for this, or how, you know, what was the genesis of?
Yeah, definitely. So I was involved in a campaign at a church here in Seattle, and it was really successful from the standpoint of getting the community engaged and participating around this idea of that, you know, Jesus lives a lifestyle that is caring for the poor and it's engaged in the world. And so people gathered around that theme and the hope of the resurrection. And so inspired out of that campaign and the work that I was doing at the church, I spun off and I guess really started this entity that's separate called the Overflow Project, with a hope to see more individuals and groups participating to make a difference.
And when did this get started, Walt? When did you start this?
The Overflow Project started just over 2 years ago, and we are we're a 501c3 charity organization. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're moving into this. Will this be your third Easter season?
Yes, this will be our third iteration of this 50-day challenge. Yep.
So what have you been able to raise through your efforts, and where has that money gone in previous years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our focus has been, as far as where the money's gone, we've supported clean water projects in East Africa.
Okay.
The first initiative, which was getting this thing started, was in Uganda, where I had worked previously from the church experience that I had mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, where we had just a significant response. And so we focused in Uganda, and then we kind of branched out and worked on an initiative in Somalia. And that's where the support from our previous challenge was initiated. And this year we're focusing on Kenya. So it's just mm-hmm. We're creating these partnerships, and we're looking at engaging these communities, and we have it's a wonderful relationship with an organization that's doing some implementation of these projects on the ground as well. So
the money that's raised through the Everflow project is mm-hmm. funneled through another organization that's doing the work on the ground in Kenya.
Yeah, yep. We picked partners, and we have a partner with partnership set up with World Concern this go around, and they're working on the ground in Kenya. Yep.
Great. Well, I want to just remind folks of the call-in number if you have a question or just a thought that has occurred to you when you're listening to Walt. I invite you to call in. Our call-in number is area code 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, and my guest is Brian Walt, Walters, who is the director of the Everflow Project. So, Walt, the project is now in its third year, and so you have both individuals and church communities who are engaging this. So if someone's listening and they really would like to understand how this works sort of on a congregational level, what does that mm-hmm. look like?
Yeah, we are available to provide resources for our community to be able to do that really easily. And we are an organization where we're set up to not collect any money at this point. We just provide the resources for you and your community to participate and engage. And then the more communities we have doing this collectively, the bigger of a difference we can make. So we have, like I said, some resources, and some of those are available right now on our website, which is overflowproject.org. And they're downloadable, and then again we can assist as well. We can answer questions, and we can provide some assistance for you and your community.
Yeah, this is great. I would just suggest to folks, if you're interested in learning more, they have a wonderful website, overflowproject.org. There's a section on resources. You know, I love this, ideas for how to simplify. Also, if your community wants to learn more about, I'm guessing, like water projects, there's some film suggestions, some book suggestions, if you want to use a book to stimulate conversation, community event ideas. It's just wonderful. Lots and lots of resources on the website, and you know, certainly more information about the Overflow Project. So, what is your goal for this year? Do you have a financial goal that you're trying to reach?
We do have a financial goal, which is $25,000. And for some folks, that might seem like not much, but for others, it might seem substantial. But we are hoping for more and more individuals to participate. And I almost hesitate giving a dollar amount because, mm-hmm. the goal of our organization is to encourage simple living and generous giving. So in order to change lives, mm-hmm. we want lifestyles to change. We want lives to be changed in this process, and that's our mission. That's our hope. So the hope is to have more and more individuals engaging and participating with us and changing their life through the work that mm-hmm. we're doing.
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, if you go to the Overflow Project and they're click on their 50-day challenge, they invite you to to simplify, and then through that simplification to give, which is, again, you sort of are really trying to push folks away from the idea as, you know, just give $100, but make a difference that actually makes a change in your life as an individual, and then allow your giving to flow from that simplicity. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
That's wonderful. And water is an incredibly important resource. And those of us who live in, you know, the part of the world where we get into the kitchen or we walk into the bathroom and we turn on a faucet and reliably clean water comes out of it, it's hard to estimate over talk about the importance of that and how much of the world just simply does not have access to clean water. So
yeah, I was going to mention too, on our website there's kind of a why water is important, and it water is also just a basic human right and foundation for development, and it's so foundational and so fundamental, and that's one of the reasons why we're supporting water projects that are sustainably oriented, that integrate water and sanitation programming, that really transform a community.
Yeah, and it's hard to underestimate the impact that clean water can have on a community.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were sharing too, it's something that it's becoming more of a scarcity here in the United States as well. But I went for a run this afternoon, and I got home and I went to my kitchen and turned on the faucet and got a glass of water that was clean, right? And it's just something that's basic that we take for granted, I think, because so many folks around the world, it's depending on who you're talking with, but there's estimations around 800 million to a billion people lack access to water. So it's a substantial issue.
Yeah, I know that in the congregation that I've been serving in New York City, one of the mission projects that we were engaged in, I think we talked about this a bit when I was in Denver, was building wells in Haiti, because so much of that country has such limited access to clean water. And two friends of mine, Brian Sumner and Joe, and of course it's one of those, Joe Robertson, I was basing on Joe's last name, traveled to Haiti, and Brian had a connection, a contact there, so that we were able to partner with and it's not even an organization, basically a doctor who is a Haitian doctor who said, you know, the biggest thing that we need is wealth in communities. So if you can go to a community and build a well, the impact that has on people is really amazing and incredible. So they and for by our standards in the United States, they amount of money that is required to be able to do that kind of support is really minimal. I think we were able to build a well and the other thing is that it supports the local economy. It's going to folks who have those resources in order to, who have the equipment but need the resources in order to do the work. And so to be able to build a well and dig, do the digging, do the, the create and install the pump and those sorts of things just has an incredible impact on the community as a whole when you go from having to walk maybe 3 or 4 miles to the nearest clean water well to having a well in, directly in your community. The impact on those communities was really amazing. And I think it's just so hard for us to understand when we, because most people in the United States have pretty reliable access to clean water.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, agreed.
So if folks want to become more involved or, I know that they can go to the website to learn more about it. Is there a way that they can sign up in order to make a commitment, that sort of thing? How does that work?
Yep. Yeah, so anybody that's listening now, and if they even join after the Sunday, after Easter, you can join in. And on our website, there's a sign-up form. It's a join the challenge. There's a join the challenge button. So basically it says my name is, and then I'm simplifying by, and you write in how you're simplifying, and then you put in your email address, and then you can stay notified about this challenge. And we have lots of updates that we're putting up on Twitter and Facebook during this initiative as well. And you mentioned the resources that are on our website too. If an individual wants to participate, even in the resources section, they can download a Facebook banner or profile picture thing that they can change on their own, just to show that they're participating in this, and that gets conversation started as well. So all that stuff is on our website, and then this is. This is a really good thing for, as we talked about as well, for communities to do. A lot of churches this time of year are already busy because they're getting ready for Easter, and this, the timing might not be good, but we can start talking about next year as well. But at the same time, this if there's time to do it, you can jump in. Between now and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I can go on the website now, and I go to the 50-day challenge tab, and I go to the 50-day challenge, and I can put, hi, my name is Jennifer. I'm simplifying by X. My email address is, and then I join the challenge. So say I do that, and then I keep track of the what my savings is. And at the end of that time period, what do I do? I mean, how do I track my challenge? How do I then make that contribution to the Overflow Project?
Yep. Yeah. So at the end of the challenge, we will have a link to be able to donate the amount that you saved, and so you can respond generously and give at the end of the 50 days. We actually don't necessarily even ask you to give anything along the way, just to instead to just to journey through this process and ask questions and learn more. That's why we have so many resources on our website. So then at the end of the 50 days, we will have a link on our site. When you sign up for the challenge, if you plug in your email address, we'll send periodic updates through the challenge as well. So, one thing I want to note is that church groups that do this, from my experience running this at a previous church. People really get excited to rally around something like this, and I think that it can really revive, a community. And I think sometimes there's a fear even for a community to say, oh, like we're already supporting our missionaries. Why would we want to, have to give more money or whatever that would look like? And again, this is just a forum and a place for people to engage and really come together. And it can be a really foundational piece for a group to be able to get their community involved and grow together, and can be a launching pad for a lot of other additional programs and other things that are happening within your church community. So it's exciting.
It really is, and I appreciate the resources. Like I was saying earlier, if you go to the resource page, you see some suggestions for books or suggestions for movies. So if you have small groups or missional organizations, missional groups within the church that gather around particular topics, I could foresee in some churches this might make a great, adult education session that sort of starts with an overview of the project, shows a movie, talks about, and then it becomes sort of a support group for the fact that you're really trying to make these more simplistic changes in your life. Because that is, that's really, I think, one of the things that I've really been drawn to in your project, is that it's not just one more place that wants me to donate money. As important as I know that it's important for me to support the good work that so many organizations are doing. But that this, this project costs me a bit more. I have some skin in the game. There's something here that is required of me beyond writing a check. And I think that challenges me spiritually, to really put my, to walk the talk. If I claim this name of Christian, then how am I going to live that out? And how am I going to really challenge myself to be a good steward? As we talk about, in the church, we use these words of stewardship and, just good overseer of the resources that I personally have been given.
I absolutely agree. And one thing I'd like to kind of come back to real briefly too is the fact that this happens on, this launches on Easter. And I think for so many people that go just to gatherings on Easter, there's a big emphasis on, and there's a big emphasis on Easter, the single day, right? And you even have, there's in the United States, this surge of people that go to church on Easter and Christmas. So those are two big days. And what happens on Easter is, it's an incredible day. It's so central to folks in their faith because of obviously Jesus and his resurrection. But Jesus doesn't disappear after one day. He lives on this earth before he leaves, and he demonstrates a way to live well. And I think that's a good reminder too, that it's not just a single day. And and heck, if you have a bunch of people coming to your community and gathering on Easter, it's a great opportunity to engage them and invite them to participate in something that's a little bit beyond just showing up on one Sunday. So
that's a great idea. And if you ask most people, I think that they would tell you, it's Easter, is it a day or is it a season? And most people, I would assume, think of Easter as a day. Easter is Easter, and Easter happens on whatever day it happens on that particular year. And it happens on Sunday, and then the next day it's over. But that 50-day period, that 50 days where Christians understand that Jesus was lived in a resurrected state for 50 days before his ascension into heaven and before he was taken up. Mm-hmm. And so we have this season of Christ walking among us in newness of life, as we say, in resurrection. And it's what a wonderful metaphor for the way that we are called to live as believers of a resurrected Lord. So we are also called to be, forces for new life and resurrection among us. And I can't, think of anything more powerful than, making a clear decision that at least for these 50 days, I'm going to make some significant change in my own personal life that is going to then positively have the effect of positively impacting the lives of others in a very powerful way.
Yeah, and it's out of the spirit of celebration and of the hope that we have from Christ. Enough is enough if we believe in the true meaning and celebration of who Christ is for us in this world. So.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's just it. We believe that all of our good gifts come from God, and that certainly God created a bountiful world where there is enough of all of the resources that we need, and there's enough for everyone here. And we really sort of need to move into that, that bountiful mentality, not that everyone has everything that they could ever possibly want, but that God has provided, if we are intentional about particularly those of us who have so much in our lives, if we're intentional about simplifying our own lives, then that can have such a profound impact, particularly on those who have, by our standards, have so little materially. And things like clean drinking water can so impact people's health and lives for the better. Certainly as I, said, my friend Brian was a physician, and he knew that the impact of having clean water on a community has on people's health, because it's because folks don't have access to clean water that diseases like dysentery end up costing people their lives, and it's completely preventable. And that's the thing, is that we have to get beyond these completely preventable diseases killing our brothers and sisters around the world. So, boy, I am so thankful for this project and for the work that you're doing. And I've just been convicted in our time tonight, Brian. I am going to go on the website, and I personally am going to sign up for the 50-day challenge as a as really my spiritual practice, so that I during this season of Easter, I can choose to live in a different way. Before you go, I'm just going to give our calling number one more time, give folks a last opportunity if they have any questions for you. Our calling number is 646-716-9397. It's 646-716-9397. Are there any last words, ways that folks can get in touch with you if they have any questions, things like that?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer questions. And if you contact us, or your organization, via our website. There's contact information there. You can direct your message to Brian Wolters, or my nickname, as you've referred to, it's Walt. If you send a message that way, it'll get to me, and we're happy as a group here working on this to assist. In the spirit of simplifying and being generous and in our mission too, we want to be able to do that for your community wherever you're at. So.
Thank you
so much, and I'm glad to hear that you are going to be joining us for the challenge. And I would love to ask you at the end to maybe reflect or write a blog post or something along those lines for our blog.
Oh, I absolutely would love to do that. I'd love to do that. Yeah, that would be wonderful. So. Thanks so much, Walt. This has been certainly a blessing for me, and I know for others who are also sort of contemplating, as I mentioned, we've been talking on the show about spiritual practices in ways that can inform our Lenten practice as Christians. And I think it's important for us to think about, these seasons of the liturgical year, and why they matter. Why does this, why is this important? But it really can inform our own personal spirituality and the spirituality that we share as a community of faith within our groups and our congregations. So thank you again for joining me tonight, and blessings to you.
Thank you so much.
And happy Easter.
Happy
Easter. And we'll look forward to hearing more about how the ways in which, and I would love to have you come back on after the project or after the 50 days and just talk about what what did you get in the way of feedback? What were the ways in which people chose to engage and participate, and the impact that had on them? So, can I get you to come back on the show in a couple of months?
Absolutely, I would love to do that. Yep.
Okay.
That'd be fantastic.
Well, that would be great. Take care. Be blessed, and we will talk soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks much. Good night. Bye.
So if you have any further questions or really want to talk about Easter, that we are in the spirit of Holy Week. And I wanted to just take a little bit of time tonight before we end the show. We have about 15 minutes left to think about this season that we're in. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is the first night of Passover for our Jewish brothers and sisters. This is a night on which the Jewish people remember and celebrate their deliverance from bondage in Egypt, and the way in which God brought them out of Egypt and were liberated in the promised land. And so they celebrate with bitter herbs that talks about the way in which the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. And we're also, thinking about the joy of living as free people, and the freedom that we have and the ways in which God continues to liberate God's people. And so I think I read a wonderful reflection today about Seders, and I will actually be attending a Seder tomorrow evening on the second night of Passover at one of our local synagogues. A good friend of ours has invited my husband and I to go as his guest, as part of his family, to celebrate the the Seder together with that community. And we went last year, and really certainly for us as guests and for people from outside of Judaism, it's a real blessing to be able to do that. As last year also, we on the first night of Passover, we celebrated with my brother, Paul, and his family, who are also practicing conservative Jews and live in Pennsylvania. So we had the opportunity to go and be a part of the family Seder there. So it's a really meaningful thing. I certainly would say that if, again, to all of my Jewish brothers and sisters, I hope this is a blessed time for you and for your families to remember the ways in which God continues to liberate and free us in the remembrance of the Jews being brought out of Egypt in bondage. And also thinking about, you know, how we are called to be a liberating force and liberators for people. So if you have any questions, you have any comments about that, you have any thoughts about Passover, as we walk through this week, Christian faith, we have we celebrated yesterday Palm Sunday, which is a very, it's a significant holiday for Christians, in which that we celebrate that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey, and it was a celebration. And the beginning of the week, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, is a celebration. And through the week, we see that things get more serious in the ways in which he's being targeted for arrest and for persecution, crucifixion toward the end of the week. So Thursday night, we celebrate Maundy Thursday, which is the celebration of when Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples in the upper room, and he reminds them that he is not going to be with them very much longer. It's also the night in which we remember that Jesus was betrayed by his disciple Judas. And then on Friday, we celebrate, we remember, and we reenact Christ's crucifixion. So in some communities, there's a passion play or a passion service or seven stations of the cross. Often worship services will go on Good Friday from 12 noon until 3 o'clock, which are the hours which we understand that Jesus hung on the cross. Very often in communities, there will be services that ask people to reflect on Jesus' seven last words from the cross. And those are services where we remember Christ's death and the fact that on that Friday he was laid, prepared for burial, laid in the tomb, and then was in the tomb all through Saturday, which was the Sabbath. And then on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, some of his followers went to prepare the body further for burial. They got in. It was approaching sundown, so it would have been the Sabbath, and they were not allowed to do much with the body once the Sabbath occurred. So they had to stop. They went back on Sunday, and they found that the tomb was empty. And an angel appeared to them and shared that they had been that the women were there, and they thought that the body had been stolen, but the angel shared that it was not stolen, but that Jesus was raised. And they then saw Jesus. Mary Magdalene, the women were the first people to see the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ, which is what we celebrate on Sunday. So we often think about Easter, and I know that for many people, Easter is about spring and about bunnies and chicks and chocolate and all of those things. And it is about new life. That certainly is, and things, the bunnies and the chicks are all you know, they're symbols of life, and eggs are symbols of life, and Easter certainly is a celebration of new life, but it also is a remembrance of and a call for us as Christians to live our lives in a new way. So, again, I just am so thankful that Walter from the Overflow Project was on with us this evening to share about that project. I so encourage you to go online, to take the challenge, to decide to live your life in a new way. And if there is a way that you would like to be involved, that you would like to simplify your life, please go on to the Overflow Project website. Make a commitment, take the 50-day challenge, decide to do something differently, and then give that overflow to the project so that others, you know, we often say that, you know, we are called to live simply so that others can simply live. But we are so blessed in this country with resources and with so many things that certainly a call to simplify during the Easter season, Easter and the 50 days to Pentecost, to the Ascension, is really a remarkable thing. And to really reflect on what does it mean to live as people who have been given new life from God through Jesus Christ. So if you have any questions, if you'd like to discuss this further, I would always welcome the opportunity to be in conversation with you. You can reach me on my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com, S-E-E-D, spiritualcoaching.com. You're also welcome to, on my website, you'll find my email, which is jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. You can certainly call me, send me an email, be in conversation with me, find me on Facebook, on Twitter. You can follow me at Coach Rev Jen. I invite you to take a look at my blog, which is 365 Days of Women's Wisdom. And I'm blogging daily, sometimes every other day, just reflecting on the ways in which women have made contributions to us in our society and our spirituality, reflecting on what does it mean to be a Christian, reflecting on the day's events. And certainly tonight, as we close, I just want to take a moment and think about the community in Overland Park, Kansas, where the grandfather and his grandson who were killed, the community, the retirement community that was affected, the other person that was also killed. And we just ask, you know, think about them and reflect on them and be mindful of the ways in which our faith calls us to live lives of love and peace and justice and nonviolence. So if you just take a moment, take a deep breath, be mindful of the many, many blessings that we have been given. And as we move through this week of Passover and Holy Week during this time, and as we move into the Easter season for Christians on Sunday and beyond, be thinking about the ways in which our lives can be changed and our faith can be strengthened through the decisions and the choices that each one of us makes. So I'm going to close with that and just invite you to take a moment and say a prayer, send a good thought to someone that you know that may be in need and may just need to understand that what the Spirit can give them in their life. So I want to just say, as I close, say thank you again to Walt Walters for being a part of our show tonight. for the Overflow Project, for the important work that they're doing. And I wish you all a very, very blessed Easter season and Passover. I will be back on April 28th, which is Monday night, 2 weeks from tonight, and I will be joined by Rebecca Stevens. Rebecca's been on the show once before, talking about faith and music, but also faith and music and children, and the work that she does as children's music director at First Presbyterian Church in New York City. So please join me on Monday night, April 28th, as I welcome Rebecca to the show. God bless you. Have a great night.